It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
Good evening and welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years this evening and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Central Time and that's 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And we are back live today, Sunday, October the 29th in beautiful Austin, Texas, where the cold front came through and the weather is crisp and sunny and just perfect. I wish it could be like this all year round. We're going to have a great show for you here this evening. And Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, the producer of this program, is here with us to make the program run. And this evening, in a few minutes, after we have a small commercial break, we'll be joined on the phone from Colorado by addiction specialist Amanda Miller at Aspen Ridge North and Aspen Ridge Recovery, located in Denver, Colorado. And this evening, Amanda joins us to talk about PTSD and the addiction connection, as well as treatment for PTSD, which a treatment that I am always referring people to, and that is EMDR. So maybe we can get some insight into how EMDR works. And later in the program, Art Mendoza, the producer of the show, will be joining us once again on this side of the microphone to give us a peek at what artists and musicians will be coming up in future programs. And I'm sure he'll play some music for us. We always have music. And along the way, I will be discussing expanding our minds through opening our hearts and following our purpose. And throughout this evening's program, we will have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions for me or for my guests, please feel free to give a call during the program. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can email your questions to me, and I will read them on the air to my guests. And the email address, the best email address, is Dr. Mara, that's D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, D-R-M-A-R-A-K-A-R-P-E-L.com. And be sure, if you have a question, to call or email when the guest is still with us, and Amanda is still on the phone so that she can answer your questions. And you can hear this evening's program again and get any website links that we talk about on this program by going to my website. Those will be posted later tonight or early tomorrow morning, along with a podcast. My website is drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com. And you can also hear the podcast of the show as soon as 5 minutes after the program ends by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, that's blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And if you'd like some information from previous programs or to listen to previous programs, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com. And you can also go straight to Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. You can also read all of my blogs in Thrive Global and in Huffington Post. You can find out about my upcoming book. You can learn about my video conferencing consulting service. And what else? You can watch the videos. We have multiple videos that are uploaded to my website with interviews from guests who have been on this program live here in Austin. When we have been in the studio, we have been videotaping for YouTube since the beginning of 2016. all of that is on my website, Dr. Mara Karpel's Your Golden Years. And if you'd like new information about upcoming shows, about blogs as they get posted, the best way to do that is to like my Facebook page, which is Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. And then that way you get all of the up-to-minute news on what's happening with this program and with my blogs. And to find out about my upcoming book, you can like my Facebook page for the book, which is The Passionate Life by Dr. Mara Karpel. And that has previews of the book, which is set to be published in 2018. And if this is the first time that you're tuning in, I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City, practicing here in Austin, Texas, and the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and with caregivers. And for the past few years, have been evaluating veterans for PTSD. And part of the time, my office is in the wonderful Veterans Resource Center, Heroes Night Out, which is located in Cedar Park, Texas. And for information about this great resource for veterans and for veterans' families, you can go to their website, heroesnightout.org. And if you want to contact me, if you have a question or you have some information that you'd like me to know about, send me an email to Dr. Mara, that's D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com, or go through my website, drmarakarpel.com, and click on contact, 512-626-6973. This evening's program is produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVere at his memory clinic in Lakeway, Texas, or to purchase a copy of his book, you can call him at 512-261-7909, or you can send him an email to rdevere, that's rdevere, at austin.rr.com. And his book is also available on Amazon. This evening's program is also sponsored by StoryHouse. StoryHouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have StoryHouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. StoryHouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8752. Okay, we're going to take a brief break. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Amanda Miller to talk about D and addiction connection. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Super psychologist Dr. Mara Karpel will be back after words from our sponsors.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's Disease and Memory Disorders Center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmarakarpel.com.
And we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden ears right here on drmarakarpel.com and on blogtalkradio.com. And joining us on the phone from Colorado, we have addiction specialist Amanda Miller from Aspen Ridge North and Aspen Ridge Recovery, located in Denver, Colorado. Good evening, Amanda.
Hi, how are you, Dr. Karpel?
I'm okay. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. How are things back in Colorado?
The weather is about to turn, but things are going well.
Okay. About to get some snow?
About to. We're thinking tomorrow.
Okay, wow. I think we're about to go up to the 80s tomorrow.
Yeah.
What is the difference? One state away. So, Amanda, before we start to talk about PTSD and addiction, maybe you can give our listeners a little bit of information about your background.
Sure. So I have 5 years of formal education where I concentrated on mental health, substance use, and trauma. I have 3 years of work experience working in the mental health and substance use field. And in this time, I've worked my way up to being the director of quality assurance and the lead clinician at both Aspen Ridge Recovery and Aspen Ridge North. And on a daily basis, I'm continuing my education and training through attending EMDR training with the Mayberger Institute here in Boulder, Colorado. And I recently completed my application towards my LCSW. So I'm also currently a certified addictions counselor level 2, and I'm going to work towards my licensed addiction counselor next year.
Okay. So you have a lot of experience in this specialty.
And, a couple of years, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, I work with veterans, evaluating them for PTSD, and many of them have issues with addiction. So maybe we can first start off with what is PTSD?
Sure. So PTSD, as we're seeing it at Aspen Ridge, also known as post-traumatic stress disorder, is oftentimes occurring when a person is exposed to a life-threatening situation. Either they're personally exposed to it, or someone close to them is exposed and they hear about it, or even in cases, especially with those veterans, like you're talking about, with that indirect exposure in the case of maybe a professional duty like a medic or, you know, a veteran that personally experiences it as at risk for PTSD. This also can include people that experience serious injury or sexual violence. And so a person with PTSD is often going to experience intrusive thoughts, nightmares, flashbacks, emotional distress, and some physical reactivity. So you'll see symptoms of avoidance around trauma-related stimuli, negative beliefs or feelings, and a person's oftentimes going to experience some arousal symptoms, so they might be aggressive or irritable, they might be hypervigilant, et cetera. So, you know, oftentimes in the substance use world, we're seeing people that have been diagnosed with PTSD related to sexual violence or seeing people die around them or experiencing life-threatening situations themselves, which is also pretty, pretty close to what the veterans are going to be experiencing as well.
So what is this PTSD addiction connection? Because a lot of the, you know, as I said, a lot of the veterans that I see do have addictions to substances. And, you know, why is that and what's the prevalence of that, if you
Absolutely.
Know?
Well, you know, I can't speak to the specific numbers of the prevalence, but I can tell you that it's very common. Many clients with PTSD and other mental health diagnoses are going to be self-medicating their mental health symptoms with alcohol or other drugs. So when a person's struggling from the very severe and distressing symptoms of PTSD, self-medication in this form becomes very common. It can, you know, I see it as a chicken and egg situation. Is this someone who had PTSD and then they started self-medicating, or was someone self-medicating and then found themselves in a situation where PTSD was likely to develop? In either situation, it's very important that we're treating them simultaneously in the rehab spectrum. But like I said, that self-medication for PTSD or any mental health is going to be a huge thing. And we're oftentimes seeing that self-medication in the form of drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, so let me ask you, when you just said something that was interesting. So self-medication can lead to a situation that develops into PTSD. How does that come about?
Sure. Sometimes we're seeing clients that are, they never really experienced a traumatic event, and then they start using substances at a young age with their friends. That progresses into more intense drugs, and all of a sudden they're in these situations where they're witnessing life-threatening situations or traumatic events, or because of the substance use, they're in more risky situations where PTSD is going to develop. And then in that case, we're going to keep self-medicating.
Right. And, you know, when I see veterans, I often give them reasons why they might want to address the addiction, because, several of them have said, well, it helps me, so why should I stop?
Mm-hmm.
So I try to give them, not a non-judgmental, but a, realistic reason. But maybe I think you might be able to do a better job at that, since that's your specialty.
Mm-hmm. Well, while the self-medicating or the drugs and the alcohol, they work temporarily, they're not going to work long term. And we're going to see that the PTSD continues, the alcohol or drug use is going to continue to intensify, and things are going to continue to go downhill in their life all around. So ultimately, someone with PTSD or substance use that's untreated is going to continue to suffer in one or most likely both of those areas until they're both treated simultaneously.
Right. And one of the things that I tell people is that, alcohol is a depressant. So, it's actually going to make everything worse.
Yeah, absolutely. You're self-medicating with medicine that is not effective, whether you're utilizing alcohol that's a depressant or even some of those drugs that are more of a stimulant, ultimately you're going to make yourself feel better for the short term, but those symptoms are going to continue to intensify because they're going untreated.
And the one thing that concerns me, too, when I see a veteran who has some suicidal thoughts and then they're telling me that they're abusing alcohol, is that, when you're using a substance that affects your judgment, you're more likely to act in a way, impulsively and do something that is, irreparable.
Absolutely. And, on top of that, you're looking at the withdrawal or the detox from alcohol or other substances is continued and even more intense feelings of guilt, shame, depression, anxiety, and things like that. So if you're more apt to act out on those thoughts when you're under the influence and also when you're in that detox or withdrawal stage. So it can be very dangerous to self-medicate in that way.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the treatments for this really difficult connection?
So the way that, Aspen Ridge is taking it on and something that I've learned in my education is that we have to take a very holistic approach. We have to come at this from many different angles. And like I mentioned before, it's something that we definitely want to treat simultaneously. You don't want to treat the substance use and then the PTSD or vice versa. They really have to be treated at the same time because they are co-occurring disorders. So we found that with the utilization of dialectical behavioral therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, motivational interviewing, and incorporating those approaches in both a group and individual setting, in both psychoeducational groups and in process groups, we're able to treat those diagnoses simultaneously. Personally, something that I'm finding in my practice to be really effective is EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization reprocessing. And we're seeing this to be really effective in the individual settings for the treatment of PTSD and substance use.
Yes, and I love EMDR. And I've heard amazing results from it. And I try to give my description of it and why it works to people that I recommend it to. But again, since you use it with people, maybe you can give a better, description of it. What is EMDR and how does it work?
Sure. So EMDR, like I said, eye movement desensitization reprocessing, is a very integrative trauma treatment therapy that's helping people with these disturbing events that happen in their life. So we're finding EMDR to be effective in healing PTSD from traumatic events that can range anywhere from sexual assault, accidents, combat, addiction, anxiety, depression, and so much more. When we're practicing EMDR, we're identifying the events that feel stuck in the brain and continue to cause distress in the present day. So with EMDR, we help facilitate the activation of the brain's inherent system to process and integrate the information that's stored or stuck in the brain. Utilizing the brain's inherent system is really what is making EMDR effective right now. In doing EMDR, it's a very safe environment, and what I think is working the best about it is that we're not sitting there talking about the trauma, because in a lot of times the right brain and the left brain are not connected. You're feeling a lot of emotional charge around these traumatic events, and that's very right brain, so it's very hard to put words to it utilizing the left brain. In EMDR, we're working to bring both of those together. The client not necessarily can talk about what happened to them, but we can use both sides of the brain to connect, decrease that emotional charge, reprocess the event, and then feel a sense of safety. So the memory is not being erased from the client's history. You're not going to forget this terrible thing that happened to you. Rather, the person is going to be able to remember the event without all of that emotional charge, feeling like they're possibly reliving it and having that sense of hypervigilance or flashbacks. So a typical EMDR session is going to look like a client coming in, what's the target that we're going to address today? Maybe we're going to address this one combat area, and we may take that on very slowly, piece by piece, so that the client feels safe. And that eye movement part comes in with connecting the left and right brain has been found to work with either using bilateral eye movements, wearing headphones that make noises in a bilateral movement, or holding hand pieces that vibrate from the left to right hand while the client thinks about that memory to move it from one side of the brain back and forth.
Well, I really like that description because it's really similar to what I've been telling people. So now I know that I'm right, even though I'm not a practitioner of EMDR. So the thing aside from the fact that I've heard that it's extremely effective, and I've talked to people who have gone through it have told me that it's extremely effective, what I really like about it, I think it's very compassionate in that you're not forcing people to talk about what happened over and over and over again, which is what a lot of the treatments out there involve.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that I found in my own practice is that I can ask you about those traumatic events and you might be able to put words to it and you can just spit it out on repeat and tell me over and over and over again what happened, but that's not actually working to process it in the brain. We need to bring in some of that right brain, that emotional charge at the same time, and not just focus on putting words to it, but actually have the brain process it in both ways. My clients are also reporting that that's one of their favorite things about EMDR is that they're really sick of repeating their story over and over again because they're just not finding relief from that.
Right. And I know sometimes that actually when people have to repeat the story over and over again, it actually increases the symptoms.
Absolutely, because they're going to find no relief from that. They're just going to keep bringing it up over and over again. They're oftentimes going to leave the office. They're going to feel that emotional charge that they can't identify, and then they're going to go home and self-medicate because they don't have that solution.
So how long does it usually take for, let's say, if somebody has one traumatic event? You know, I know the combat veterans, a lot of times it's multiple events, and even some of the other types of, you know, PTSD is multiple. But let's say just one traumatic event, how long does that usually take until someone's
really
feeling
depends.
Better?
Sure, it depends on the person. I've seen, in my personal practice, I've seen some female clients process through a sexual trauma event that they are still struggling with in anywhere between 2 to 5 sessions. I've also seen some people that will work with me for 9 to 10 months and they're not feeling complete closure, but they're feeling much better about the situation. And there are some people that it may take up to 1 year. So someone with really complex trauma, one event could take, you know, if the event, the traumatic event lasted for hours on end or days on end, it's going to take a little bit longer. But we're seeing that it can work pretty quickly with people also. So kind of depends, anywhere from 2 to 1 year's worth of sessions, really.
And 1 year's worth of sessions is really pretty quick.
Yeah, even then.
Yeah, I mean, I see people who've had PTSD for many years and have been through all kinds of treatment over that time and still have the same symptoms or even worse. Mm-hmm. So,
sure. And when you think about it that way, you're thinking, you know, 24 sessions, and even sometimes people can come more than once a week. So, but about 24 sessions is the longest I've ever heard of, really, to work on one specific event. And again, the thing about EMDR is that we're going back to maybe the very first time that you felt helpless, and we're going to work from the bottom up. So in doing that, just working with the feeling of maybe helplessness, we might be able to work on more than one event fairly quickly.
Okay. So it's not really just one at a time.
Not necessarily. It depends on what works for the person. We can work on one specific event, or we can do a float back is what it's called. So let's go back to the first time that you really remember feeling that way and work from the ground up. And in that way, we're unlocking a whole web of memories that are associated to that one feeling of hopelessness.
So, you know, some of the veterans that I see have, in addition to the PTSD and the substance abuse, have also been exposed to blasts that have caused mild traumatic brain injury.
Sure.
Do these treatments work the same way with someone who's had a mild traumatic brain injury?
You know, to my knowledge, they do. I know that some of the people in the field that I'm working in are working with people that have TBIs, Alzheimer's to some degree, some kind of dementia, and they're making it work. I personally would suggest that those people with more complex cases find someone that's a little bit more experienced with EMDR, that has a couple years of practicing it, that can work with them. But absolutely, there's no reason why this wouldn't work for a more complex case with the right partnership between client and therapist.
Okay. So what sort of clients do you see over at Aspen Ridge?
We're working with adults, so 18 and up, men and women, that have these co-occurring mental health and substance use issues that are willing and able to start treating them simultaneously. So we are a minimum 90-day treatment facility. We also have services and sober livings that we're connected to for people that want longer-term care.
Mm-hmm.
But we're really seeing that majority of our clients are showing the symptoms of PTSD in hand with their substance use issues. And those substances range anywhere from alcohol to methamphetamines to opiates and almost anything in between.
Okay. So are most of your clients from Colorado, or do they come from all over the country?
They really are coming from all over. The one thing, we are a private insurance company or a cash pay. So if your insurance, we have out-of-state insurance companies that will oftentimes be considered in-network. So we've seen a lot of people come from Arizona, Wisconsin, Florida, Texas, I think we had, you know, Kansas, all over the area, and then a lot from Colorado because it's a little bit more convenient.
Right, right. So you do take insurance.
We do.
Mhm. Okay. So Is there anything else that you think would be important for any listeners out there who might be dealing with these issues or might have a family member who they think has PTSD and substance abuse?
Sure. You know, in many instances, someone that is struggling with trauma, PTSD, substance use, there's a lot of very complex feelings of guilt and shame and feeling alone, especially in men or in veterans. There's a stigma around asking for help or struggling due to this, you know, stiff upper lip mentality. So I would really want people to know that there are many resources and people out there that are willing and able to help them in a safe, trusting, non-judgmental environment. And if your family member or someone that you love is struggling with possible PTSD or substance use, keep that in mind, that they may really be feeling a lot of guilt and shame, and there is a lot of struggle around asking for help. So coming at that from a very loving and caring approach is very important, but there are many people out there like myself that are willing to help, and we want to, so we hope that people will feel safe enough to ask.
So if listeners are interested in finding out about your services, Aspen Ridge, how can they do that?
You know, if you're feeling like you're not quite ready to talk to somebody, you can look at our website online. It's aspenridgerecovery.com, and there's going to be a plethora of information about our services there. The other thing that I recommend is to call our admissions line, have a conversation with Donna. She's very friendly, and she will answer all of your questions. And her phone number is 877-736-9727.
Okay. So I'm going to post the link and the phone number on my web post later on, the web post about this show, so people can just go back and find it there if they weren't ready with their pen and paper when you said it.
Awesome.
Okay. So thank you so much, Amanda, for coming on the program. I think it's a really important topic, and I hope that people really look into it. I love spreading the word about EMDR because I think it's really effective and, like I said, a compassionate type of treatment. So thank you. Thank you. And you're in Boulder, Colorado? Is that what you said?
Well, Aspen Ridge Recovery is located in Lakewood, Colorado. I do my EMDR training out of Boulder, Colorado, but then we also have a location in Fort Collins, Colorado. So we're kind of spread out.
All right. Well, maybe I'll come by and get a tour when I'm up there visiting my brother in Boulder sometime.
Absolutely. We would love that.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right. Well, you have a good evening and stay warm.
I will. Thank you very much, Dr. Carpella. I appreciate it, and I hope you have a great evening as well.
All right. Thank you. Good night. Bye-bye. All right. So we're going to take a brief break, and we have lots more to come, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the facts. Memory loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaricarpell.com.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, it's Dr. Mara Carpell in your golden years right here on drmaricarpell.com and on blogtalkradio.com. And again, I'm going to post that information on my web post later this evening, if you didn't have your pen and paper ready. Really love that explanation of EMDR, and I'm going to use it when I speak with veterans and encouraging them to go for EMDR. All right, so now on with the next part. Before I start to talk about my topic, which is expansion of the mind by expanding your heart, I just want to fill you in on some news. First of all, I want to send my condolences to the family of one of my high school classmates who was another hero on 9/11, firefighter Robert Tiliarcio. Was a member of the New York of the Fire Department of New York, and he was another victim of 9/11. He actually passed away last Wednesday. I guess I was muted. Let me go back. So again, I don't know how much I was muted, but I just want to send my condolences to the family of firefighter Robert Tiliarcio, one of my classmates, who was a member of the Fire Department of New York and another victim of 9/11. And he passed away last Wednesday from a brain tumor that was a result of his exposure to the World Trade Center toxins after 9/11. Robert was zero for several days as a first responder after 9/11 without coming home in between. He was worked tirelessly to try to find people and rescue them after 9/11. And, you know, he was breathing in all of those toxins. And he became very, very active in trying to pass the Zadroga Act, protecting all of the first responders who were sick because of their heroic work at Ground Zero, so that they would receive medical care as they became, several of them became sick. I think he was the 15th New York City firefighter who passed away from a 9/11 related ailment. And Robert was a cheerful, warm, friendly person, and he will be remembered as, you know, with a lot of love. A lot of people turned out for his funeral. So I just wanted to mention that. In terms of news, again, you can go to my website to find out everything that's going on with me and with this program. And all of the videos that we have posted of the interviews I've done in the Austin studio with local guests. And I have a new blog coming out very soon, so keep your eyes open both on my Facebook page and on my website. And you can read all of my blogs by clicking on blogs or clicking on publications on my website, drmaricarpel.com. And you can find out about my upcoming book by clicking on the book link. Also, as I mentioned in a couple of previous shows, I recently launched an online face-to-face consultation service for people who are newly dealing with caregiver issues and don't know what to do, and also people who are looking to follow their dream and just need a little help in figuring out how to do that, or a little extra push in just taking that first step. So check that out. All of that is on my website, drmaricarpel.com. Okay, so I want to talk about expansion. So last week in my discussion here about transforming venom or detoxing from toxic people, which is going to be a blog that's coming out very soon, I touched on the issue of expansion, and that is expanding our mind and our view of the world and of our own life. And that is, we often get caught up in minor hassles and even focus on, nasty things that people say to us, or obsessing about things people say, or worrying about small issues. And then we lose sight of the bigger picture, and we get very, very small in terms of our view of our life and of the world. And when we do that, we are giving away our power and we're giving away our joy. You know, life is short, and we want to enjoy every minute of it, even the up and the down. And I myself am getting better at remaining resilient and reminding myself to have a bigger view, but I still get knocked off the rails, as I call it. And I notice that when I do, my focus becomes very small. And, you know, and when other people talk to me about, you know, these issues that knock them off the rails, I can see that their view is very small and even to the point of being illogical. You know, when we do that, we are what they call missing the forest for the trees, as that saying goes. When we focus on one minute problem or one negative comment or one negative event, we really lose sight of the reality of our life and how expansive it is. And that's not logical. It's not rational. So I've been thinking about ways to raise my awareness and to help other people raise their awareness and move the lens back, so to speak, so that we get the larger picture and we can feel more expanded. And, you know, I spoke about, you know, getting back on track after coming into people who are very contact with people who are very critical of us. And again, you can go back to last week and listen to that show or keep stay tuned for my upcoming blog, and I'll have some tips about that specific issue. But I want to talk about how to expand in a much broader, in a bigger way, a more expansive way today. And one of my biggest goals, to increase my own expansion of my mind, my resilience to hassles, which knock me off the rails and get me to become much more smaller in my view, and to open my heart. And in building resilience, we have a much better chance of seeing the bigger picture. So the Buddhist psychologist, Dr. Jack Kornfield, who I've been quoting a lot lately, because I've been reading a lot of his books and subscribing to his newsletters and really connecting with what he writes. I'm going to quote him again, and he wrote about mindfulness as being the number one key to expanding our mind. So he wrote, "Life is ephemeral and precious and beautiful and unfathomable. When you open to this mystery, you can awaken mindfulness. You will become liberated from being caught in your fears and confusions and conflicts and attachments. And this doesn't mean that they'll cease to arise. You'll continue to experience fears and confusions. Conflict and attachment will continue to show themselves, but you will recognize them for what they are. Ah, yes, this is fear. I know you. And yes, this is terror. Oh, terror, terror. And this is attachment. This is longing." And then he quotes Chief Crowfoot. "What is life? It is the flash of a firefly in the night. It is the breath of a buffalo in wintertime. It is the little shadow that runs across the grass and loses itself in the sunset." So, you know, life is precious. But when we can focus and be mindful, then with mindfulness, as Jack Kornfield writes, you can discover that no matter what difficulties you are experiencing, your heart has the capacity to be present and to be compassionate. Often free in the winds of life, you can experience the full potential of your humanity. This is freedom. This freedom is your birthright, and you know that this is true. So when we can be mindful, when we can focus on, you know, mindfulness, when we talk about mindfulness, we often think of mindfulness meditation. So sitting and focusing on your breathing, noticing the thoughts that come into your mind and labeling them and letting them go, that is mindfulness meditation, and that's training. That is not being mindful in your life. That's training for being mindful in your life. So if you can make a practice of doing that every day and maybe spend a minute doing that throughout, you know, various times throughout the day, okay, focusing on your breathing for a moment in the middle of work, notice what you're thinking and what you're feeling, that is, again, training. Being mindful is also living mindfully is also noticing what is going on around you in your life and not getting caught up in the small things, not getting caught up in the negative hassles and worry. It's noticing, you know, the beautiful blue sky, noticing the flowers that you pass on the road, noticing the taste of your food. When you're driving your car, noticing the feeling of the steering wheel as you hold it, or the feeling of the car driving on the road, the feeling of the cool air or the sun shining on you, the smell in the air, taste, all of that. Being aware of everything around you moment by moment is mindfulness, and when you do that, it's like an entry point into expansiveness. It's into the reality of our lives, which is much more expanded than the small hassles that happen across, along the way. And even being mindful during the hassle, that this is just part of the ebb and flow, and that you'll get through it. Being mindful of how you feel in those moments can help us to experience the hassle without suffering through them. So part of this, and I touched on that briefly when I talked about having compassion, having an open heart or compassion is also a necessary key to expansion of the mind. And an open heart or compassion is directly connected to mindfulness. So if we are mindful of everything that's going on around us, we also notice the suffering around us. And we notice that people near us, people that we know, or even people who we don't know, or people far away, pain and are suffering. And when we open to that, rather than run from the pain, but we are there, we shine a light of awareness and giving space to that pain, then that's mindfulness and that's compassion. And that actually helps with healing for them and for us. It expands our mind. It helps us to know that we are not alone, that we are all connected, and that we have a purpose on this earth. So so one way of having compassion and opening our heart is by truly listening to people. And as, again, Jack Kornfield writes, everyone around you wants to be listened to respectfully. This is something that you can offer them no matter what your situation is. It is this deep attention that brings healing. Your experience of being human in this way, opening to the 10,000 sorrows and joys of yourself and others, becomes kind of a salvation. So I love that, that he talks about opening your heart and having compassion as a way of opening to the 10,000 sorrows and joys of yourself and others. That's very expanded, 10,000 sorrows and joys. And when we do that, we open our mind. Again, we have a bigger picture, and those little traffic jams or nasty comments or stubbing your toe, they become less important. They become just part of the whole picture of being alive. And then, of course, and I talk about this a lot, following your dream, and putting this in terms of opening our mind and opening our heart, Jack Kornfield calls this Dharma, and Buddhists call this Dharma. So understanding our true purpose as humans, or what the Buddhists call Dharma, is keeping our eye on the big picture. And that's what expanding our mind is. It's having our eye on the big picture. And getting from our small mind into expanded mind means connecting to our Dharma and who we are really meant to be. Who are we meant to be as humans? I think we're meant to be creative. We're meant to be connecting to other humans, and we're meant to be helping each other, supporting each other. That's how human species survive, by our interdependence on each other. Not dependence, but interdependence, understanding that we all have a purpose in keeping this web of life going. And then our Dharma is also looking at what is our piece in the puzzle. How am I supposed to be part of this? What is my purpose? We all have a purpose in this web of life. We all have a gift that we can give. And that's at any age, and at any physical, emotional capacity. We all have something that we can give. And one way to realize our potential is to ask ourselves, how am I supposed to create, connect, and serve? And waking up every morning and asking, what is my purpose today? How will I serve today? What is my Dharma today? And the Dharma could be something big. Our purpose could be a dream that we have to follow. And that's huge, to have a dream and every day do something to realize that dream, to take another step, helps us to see the big picture. And especially when that dream is something that helps people, that helps our fellow humans and animals and trees and plants and the earth that we live on. That's big. That is the big picture. That's what gives people the energy to get up in the morning, even if they're sick, even if they're tired, even if they're so hurt. Getting up and knowing that we have a purpose. And then even if it isn't this huge dream, we can serve a purpose in our lives every single day with the smaller things that we do. Our purpose might be that everybody that I come in contact with at work or out in public, that I am going to do my part in helping them feel good. So that might be I'm going to smile at everybody or say thank you or say something kind. I'm going to practice kindness today. That's huge too. That doesn't have to be a big dream, but that's huge, because the way to overcome the meanness and the wars and the anger and the fear and suspiciousness and paranoia that we're surrounded by every day is to be a change in that, be the change, be kind. And that spreads like wildfire. We hear stories all the time when when we stop listening to the negative news and we plug into the positive news, there are a lot of stories out there about people who just randomly show kindness to strangers and change their life by doing it. We don't know what huge benefit we might do to somebody by saying something kind to them. I've heard stories of people who are ready to take their own life, who had some stranger say something kind to them or do something kind for them, having no idea that they were actually saving that person's life, and it made that person not take their life. It made them realize that there was a reason to live. So that's huge. So having our focus on those kinds of things and our purpose and our compassion and open hearts all connected, and being mindful, because if we're not mindful, then we don't notice. We won't notice the person over there who might need some kind words or a kind gesture of some sort. We won't notice that if we're mindless. If we're walking around with a phone in our hand, just looking down, or thinking about that comment that someone made to us months ago, and not letting it go. That we become mindless. Or if we're just coming home, say we've had a rough day, we want to relax, and we turn on the TV and we just sit in front of the TV and just become a robot in front of the television. That's not mindfulness. That's mindlessness. And, you know, it's okay to do that once in a while, but when you live your life that way, one day you wake up and you realize that a lot of time has gone by and you don't know where it went, what happened to my life. So mindfulness is what expands our life. Mindlessness, focusing on these little negative things, is what shrinks our life. It shrinks our mind. And as Jack Kornfield says, again, to quote him, in any moment, even in this one, you can realize your own vastness. With mindfulness of the Dharma, our life purpose and our life and our purpose in it, you shift from the small sense of self to the infinite freedom and presence and timeless. Jim Carrey, the actor Jim Carrey, the comedian, he's been on this path for a while. I've been following him. He's gotten very involved with meditation, and I think he's become good friends with Eckhart Tolle, who wrote The Power of Now, about being present mind focused. And it seems like he's become pretty expanded. And some people don't get it. They say that, you know, hey, he's a little off or a little crazy with some of the things he says. But I think the things that he says are actually pretty enlightened. So one of the quotes that Jim Carrey, I saw this quote on Facebook. I want to find it. Here it is. Okay, so Jim Carrey said, life is so beautiful, especially when I'm absent from it. Don't get me wrong. Jim Carrey was a great character, and I was lucky to get the part. But I don't think of that as me anymore. I used to be a guy who was living the world, and now I feel like the world and the universe experiencing a guy. So there's kind of been a shift. So that's pretty expanded. When you feel like you are the world and the universe experiencing your life. But we all are. We all are. We are the world experiencing this life that we have at this moment. And if we can think that way, then the small problems look very small. We realize that they're very small. And we can ask ourselves, so what do we want to make of this life that we're now in? I started saying that as an affirmation for myself. Now, I am the world and the universe experiencing life as Mara. My mind is expansive. My heart is open. I am rooted to the earth, and my mind is expanding with the universe. And another affirmation that I find really helpful is an affirmation I mentioned it last time that I made from Jack Kornfield's meditation. He has a meditation where he uses these words, but I turned it around into an affirmation that I say to myself. And the affirmation is, let my body be solid like a mountain. And my mind open like the sky. May I rest on the earth like a Buddha and become acquainted with my capacity to witness all that arises and to remain centered and stable and steady in the midst of it all. So if we can be like a mountain where we are immovable and we are not easily knocked down by little winds that come along in our life, and our mind open like the sky where we can see all of the possibilities in our life and in the world, and just become witnesses to everything that goes on in our life rather than getting emotionally pulled into every little thing in our life. Getting pulled this way and that way and on a roller coaster ride of emotions. If we can step back and just observe our life, mindfulness, and that's expansion. And that's how we can really live our life to the fullest with real happiness rather than a happiness that's connected to getting what we want, because that only lasts for a short time, because everything is impermanent. Everything is temporary. So even if we get what we want, it doesn't last. And if we worry about it not lasting, then we lose our happiness right there. But having that mindset of being like a mountain or a mind open like the sky and just observing the events in our life and enjoying the ups and understanding that the downs are all part of life, that is a more permanent feeling of happiness. That is real happiness, and that is expansion. And so on that note, we're going to listen to a little music and expand our minds with a little music. And then Art Mendoza, producer of this show, will be joining us on this side of the mic to let us know what's coming up in the next few months with artists and musicians. So don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
All right, and we are back. And joining us again on this side of the microphone, we have Art Mendoza, producer of the program. Hey, Art.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm sitting here talking to you.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We're doing a radio show.
Yes, right, I forgot. We were just listening to the Mona Lisa twins who we had on a while back, and I'm sure we're going to be talking to them again because we're following them pretty heavily. Because they're doing everything that a group needs to do right. They have what we call the complete package. They look good, they write well, and they're doing everything in performance very well. So this is probably going to be a group that we're going to see as they start to go upwards the ladder. And so anyway, we'll be seeing them. And next week we're going to be with Betty Navas out of Los Angeles, who is a good friend of ours and also an incredible lead guitarist and writer. And she'll be on talking about her latest awards. I think she won a couple of awards the last couple of years. But
cool.
Also coming in will be Jelly Bread, and they're just an awesome group. And Jake Cortez, which I want to plug in, that Jake Cortez will be playing with me over on South by Dry Island for the art show and performance that we're doing on November 30th at Kranzler. And so he'll be with us. And also some other musicians, Dr. John Dotson again, and just a load of musicians. And the reason I'm talking about it now is Holiday. We do a lot of repeat programs because everybody's all doing their holiday stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting prepped for the next year, for the end of this year, the beginning of next year. And that's really about it. I'm going to play another one of the songs from Mona Lisa Twins. And then I'll give it back to you, and then we'll get out of here.
All right.
Okay, so this is, this one is going to be the song... the one that we just heard was with John Sebastian of Loving Spoonful that was playing harmonica.
Oh, yeah.
And this next one is going to be called In It for Love, which is more of a little English pop type tune. And here we go.
I'm out of fashion, I'm out of style, I'm out of my mind, that's almost a mind, but I'm still in something good. I'm in it for love. Feel out of date in these peculiar times. Feel out of touch with the world and its crime. But I'm still into something good. I'm in it for love. Had I not met you, I'd still mind what is in all.
Mona Lisa Twins. I love those girls, young women. They are in Liverpool, England, and I hope to get to meet them someday when they're here in Texas. Or maybe we'll make it to England. So on that note, I am going to let you know what's coming up next week. We have another live show next Sunday, November the 5th, the day after the Austin powwow. For anybody here in Austin, there's a one-day powwow on the 4th. It's always a lot of fun, and I'll be talking about that when I come here on the 5th. And Randy Parker will be joining us in our Austin studio to talk about long-term care insurance, what it is, how it works, and why it's important. These days, it's more and more important to have long-term care insurance, so that'll be a really great topic. And Laura Galazunas will report in once again from the retirement paradise, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, as the winter visitors are returning. And as Art mentioned, Betty Nava will be calling in from Los Angeles to talk about her music, and we'll be playing some of her original music. And I will be talking about a topic to be announced. And if you want to hear tonight's program again and read the information from this show, get the links that we talked about on the program, listen to previous shows, read my blog, all of that, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com, and also be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years, and also on Facebook, The Passionate Life by Dr. Mara Karpel. And you can also hear all of the previous programs at Blog Talk Radio, BLOG, talkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And if you want to contact me regarding my online consultations, you can email me at drmara@drmarakarpel.com, or you can call me at 512-626-6973, or you can always contact me through my website. And you can listen to this evening's program in as soon as 5 minutes from now by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, BLOG, talkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And this evening's program was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist Dr. Ronald DeVere and by Storyhouse. And special thanks to my guest, Amanda Miller, and thank you to the Mona Lisa Twins for the music, and of course, thank you, Art, and thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week, and remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone.
Super Psych. Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for... Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.